We go out to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You know him every Tuesday, 520, the great Albert Breer of MMQB. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. What's happening?
Oh, just enjoying an absolute directionless Brown season. How about you?
Well, I have 31 other teams to take me away from that. But, it's been an interesting year in Cleveland, no question.
You have better children. That's what I hear there. So I am curious because we've had a lot of discussion about where the Browns are and how bad this can get. Do you think when it comes to Stefanski, Barry, DePodesta, the whole lot, big sweeping changes, do you think that the difference between 0-8 but it looks competitive and 0-8 and it looks non-competitive is the difference between many people getting fired and no one getting fired?
Yeah, I think things would have to be pretty cataclysmic the rest of the way for everybody to get fired. It took the Haslams, you know, a lot of time to get to the point where they really had a setup that they were comfortable with and they liked. And you guys lived it, you know, like everybody out there listening lived it and saw the half measures and the, all right, well, let's do this and this. And, you know, let's get like the, you know, like let's get the analytics guy in Sashi Brown. No, that didn't work. Let's go get John Dorsey instead. And, you know, trying to marry analytics and hardcore football with you and Sashi working together. It's just so many different iterations of it. You know, you had Kyle Shanahan in the building and he hated it so much that he wrote a manifesto on why he wanted to leave, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like it took them a long time to get to something that they really were comfortable with and they really liked. And I think that they got there with Kevin and with Andrew and with, you know, with Paul DePodesta over the top of it. And I think, you know, DePodesta being there, you know, for DePodesta's presence there before all of this sort of, I think, telegraphed that maybe this was the sort of direction they wanted to go in to begin with, you know? So, I just have a hard time seeing them pulling up stakes on the entire operation again, unless it gets to some point where you're like, there is no way they can go forward with this. So does it look great now? No. But I think you could argue, you know, given the quarterback situation and where it is, given their situation at tackle and what that's been, you know, it's pretty easy to get to a point where you can give these guys a mulligan and say, you know what, they made the playoffs in two of their first 4 years. Kevin Stefanski was coach of the year twice. You know, they showed they've got something pretty sturdy in 2023. It didn't work out the same way in 24, but that doesn't mean you should pull the plug on everything.
Albert, the Browns are in a weird spot when it comes to Mike Vrabel. He's one of the hot coaching candidates now, but he's also in the building, and they're elevating his duties.
A legend.
There's so much there, and the fans are already clamoring. Albert, it's been 1 week of just get Stefanski out, put Vrabel in. The dynamic here, though, you have to admit, it's odd.
So I think, you know, first of all, I think Mike was top 10, if not top 5, head coach in the NFL, you know, and I think Tennessee was foolish for letting him go. Like, that's my opinion on it. I felt that. I've been on the record saying that. Like, I think he's a really, really good head coach. And I think he'll be a head coach somewhere in 2025. Again, the Browns really like where they're at. Like, I could see where Vrabel, you know, has appeal for them for a number of different reasons. Number one, like, you know, like he's very much a program leader. Right. Like, so if you need somebody to unify you, if the rest of the year were to really circle the drain, again, I'm talking about like a catastrophic situation where, you know, it just looks like you can't go forward with what you have. Well, you know, Vrabel is somebody who has shown he can kind of bring a group together and is a true program leader. The other thing about Mike, and again, this is like sort of if you're looking to, you know, pull that Deshaun lever, is that he does have the pre-existing relationship with Deshaun Watson. And I think, you know, just knowing a lot of people that have been around Deshaun and that know Deshaun from Houston, they tell you, like, one of the things that was really important in making it work in Houston was the trust that Deshaun had with all the people there and the ability those people had to dish out tough love with him and be really hard on him and coach him hard. And, you know, I think if there were going to be a change, you would look at, like, okay, like, how do we salvage the Deshaun Watson situation? And I think one of the first places you would look is like, okay, how do we recreate what he had in Houston? And you got the guy right there, Mike Vrabel, you know, who was a part of all of that. But again, like I think, you know, Kevin and Andrew wind up the head coach and general manager in 2025. And Mike Vrabel's probably somewhere else.
So with that, Albert, if because I think Cleveland fans have taken a side, right? They're either pro Stefanski, anti Barry, or pro Barry, anti Stefanski. If let's say the Browns organization was leaning in one direction, because I tend to think for right now what you're saying makes sense, but if they got to a point where they were going to choose to bring back one of the guy, who do you think would be more likely to come back with the other going, Barry or Stefanski?
You know, my default, and it's hard because, like, generally in these situations when you're talking about, like, keeping one and getting rid of the other, there's some sort of acrimony between the sides, and you feel like you have to pull the plug on one or the other, and that doesn't really exist in Cleveland. You know, like, I don't think Kevin and AB are on different pages whatsoever. I think they're still in lockstep and, you know, still working together. So it's just hard for me to conjure a situation where one is gone and the other isn't. You know, that said, I think generally what you do in that situation, you default to keeping the GM, you know, and that's just the way that it works because generally the way you look at it, and it depends sometimes on when someone is hired versus when the other person's hired. But, you know, generally, like, you know, like the head coach is assessed over like 3 or 4 year periods where the GM is assessed over a decade, you know, and that's why they often say with GMs, like, well, how many hires has he gotten? How many times has he had a chance to hire the head coach, which, you know, can be the death knell when, like, GM's had 2 or 3 chances already to hire the head coach. You know, it happened with Tom Telesco with the Chargers, who I think he did a good job of putting talent on that roster, but he had already had 3 swings at hiring the head coach, so he wasn't going to stay for the Jim Harbaugh era, you know? So, I think the likelihood would generally be that the general manager would survive over the head coach, but that's not specific to what's going on in Cleveland because, again, I think they've worked in lockstep to the level where it's hard to really separate one from the other.
Albert, we're going to need our pound of flesh somewhere. Is that Jim Schwartz? Is that, like, what does that end up being?
Yeah, I know, and I've thought about that too. You know what I mean? Like, so the pound of flesh is like, where do you get that? Where does that come from? And I honestly don't know. I mean, obviously the defense hasn't been anywhere near as good as it was a year ago. So, you know, do you chalk that up to, like, you know, the injury situation with Denzel Ward's injury issues and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa? Like, do you look at that? Do you say, like, this is because, you know, there was a year where there was no tape on him and the league is catching up to what Schwartz is doing? That's what that assessment would be on. I really don't know. I mean, I just, based on the job they did over their first 4 years, it's hard for me to look at it and not say they might all just get like a 1 year mulligan. And there might be a lot of people under pressure in 2025 as a result. But, you know, again, like, I just think the Haslams really like the model that they have, you know, and rightfully so. Like, I do think a lot of, like, I think that's, that organization is, I mean, maybe, I don't know, you guys are closer to it than me. Like, this is probably the most stable the Browns have been, you know, in the new Browns era, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which, I mean, again, like, is that like being the tallest midget? I don't know. But, like, you know, like, I mean, it is. I think it clearly is the most stable they've been, right?
Yeah, it's not really. It's not really a debate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, do you really, if you're the owner and you've been seeking that sort of stability for this much time, is this the time to flip over the apple cart? I mean, everybody's got blood on their hands from the Deshaun Watson thing, right? Like, you know, so I think you bring back the same group, and then it's like your number one thing now becomes, how do we manage this going forward? You know, like, how, like, so, okay, like, now that we're moving forward with this group, like, what's the quarterback plan? And, you know, I think based on wherever they're picking, they're certainly going to kick the tires on the quarterback in the draft and find a way to put competition in the room for Deshaun, because I don't see a way out of that contract. I don't think that's happening.
Albert, to look around the NFL, Joe Douglas got fired today. That means the GM and the head coach getting murked in New York. What does that mean for Aaron Rodgers' future, not just in the NFL, but certainly in New York?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it certainly puts that in that question to the forefront. And you know, I think you look at where they are from a roster standpoint, like, It would be in a relatively attractive job if you look at the young players, Garrett Wilson, Olufoshinu, Sauce Gardner, Quinnen Williams, Quincy Williams. Like, it's like Breece Hall. Like, there's like a good core of young players there that Joe Douglas leaves behind. But how are you going to attract people with the ownership situation, you know? And like, Aaron Rodgers was already like openly complaining about like the atmosphere in that organization. Like, you guys remember that last year, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we need to get the rats out of here or whatever it was, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what do you think he like deep down thinks right now? You know what I mean? Like, does he want to put up with it? So on one hand, it's like, oh, well, this would be an attractive situation for a head coach or general manager based on the young talent. On the other hand, it's like, who wants to go work for Woody Johnson after what just happened? And after the last 25 years, the way that organization has been run, you know, it's a weird situation where there are good players there. And I think some players that you can build around, but you know, why would a head coach or a general manager want to go work there? And honestly, like, why would Aaron Rodgers want to stay there if he's got, you know, a viable option somewhere else, or if it's in his head that he might just retire? I don't know. I think all of that stuff is really very up in the air right now.
Let me ask about Zach Taylor in Cincinnati. I don't know that he's going to lose his job, but now two postseasons in a row missed with Joe Burrow. They don't have a defense. It's a mom-and-pop shop operation. They have not supported him, but is this enough for him to lose his job?
I hope the Brown family takes this as a wake-up call. They have such an incredible, incredible opportunity in front of them with this quarterback. And I don't know how much you guys have watched him. He's still as good as he was, don't you think?
He's been incredible.
You know what I mean? Like, you watch him on Sunday night. I mean, he did freaking everything he could. And the Chargers went right down the field in three plays. And the Chargers went out this offseason and got Jim Harbaugh to be their head coach. And they've spent on the roster. And, like, that's a family that's known for being cheap themselves, right? The Spanoses are. Mm-hmm. That's been their reputation, at least. And so, like, I just think, you know, like, I think this is a good chance for the Bengals to take a hard look at their organization. I mean, they have like five scouts working for them, and I'm just barely even an exaggeration, you know? Like, there's a reason why they always draft big school guys, because they don't have the wit. They don't have the scouting infrastructure to go and beat the bushes at like your FCS schools, you know, or for, you know, some of your lower level free agents. It's an organization that really needs to be modernized. And I hope losing this way with Joe Burrow sort of wakes some people up to it, because you look at their defense, right? And so we know what they are offensively. They're still really good offensively, but on defense, mm-hmm. I mean, Sam Hubbard's gotten older, right? So DJ Reader's gone. You know, like, DJ Turner's probably a backup corner. You know, Cam Taylor-Britt has been inconsistent. You know, they bring back Von Bell because they weren't able to replace he and Jesse Bates, and he's gotten old. Like, there are all these things that have happened for them on defense that it points back, like, the margin for error there is razor thin, because they aren't spending on scouting. They aren't spending on the bottom parts of their roster. And, you know, again, like, hopefully I would hope that, like, you know, somebody there is going to say, like, we need to start doing things that are going to put us on a championship level before we, you know, get in a position where this quarterback isn't happy anymore. You know, I just think it's on everybody in that organization to sort of take a hard look in the mirror right now, because they should be right there with the Bills and the Chiefs competing for the AFC's number one seed, and they aren't right now.
Albert, really great stuff, buddy. Appreciate you. Enjoy the big Cavs-Celtics matchup tonight. The Cavs are winning, just telling you.
Are they undefeated still? I cannot pay close attention to basketball during football season. Love the NBA, but are they still undefeated?
They are. And Albert, that question hurt Nick in more ways than you'll ever know.
Thought we were friends.
Why did it hurt you?
Because I am the preeminent streaker on the show. I am
big
the
streaker.
I've been on this streak since day one. Is it like 5-0? And I, not only that, it's a cup game. I'm a big cupper. And, I mean, I just felt like you'd know. I felt we were simpatico.
He's been trying to sell me on the importance of a streak for weeks.
Well, I think, like in the middle of November when football season's full swing, like, I think it's a victory that I knew that they were undefeated, right? Mm,
take that, JP.
Credit okay. to me for being aware of something happening in the NBA.
It's true. That's true.
I'll give you your kudo, my friend. We appreciate you, bud. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. Albert Breer there of the MMQB on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You feel better about that? You feel better about where the Browns are after that? I think I might have a glimmer of hope. If you're somebody who's got infuriated at, I think they're coming back because the Haslam feel comfortable with this.
A mulligan.
I think I heard something that might make sense. It's just that you're going to have to give something to get something. And I don't think you're going to want to give what you're going to have to give. That's next on 92.3 The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.